Psalm 40, from where we read a moment ago, written toward the end of David's life. It was a reflection looking back on his life. And David wasn't perfect. He had failures in his life. In fact, the Bible tells us, and God talks about David, said, yeah, he's a good guy. The only failings that he had was the time with Bathsheba and Uriah. The rest of the time, he was a man after God's own heart, lived his life to serve God. And so he's looking back over his life, and he says in verse 9, I have preached in the great congregation. Greatest congregation of that time was the congregation of Israel, God's chosen people, God's blessed people. You're going to have to excuse me for a minute, but when I come to the end of my life and look back on it, I'm going to say the same thing that David did. I have preached in a great congregation. I have preached to this congregation. I was thinking last night and yesterday afternoon about what I was going to preach, and I got to thinking about the people that make up this congregation. And I just went down and actually took a piece of paper and jotted down four or five lines for every family that I thought about, and I got the directory out so I wouldn't forget anybody. And I have an expanded directory because we're in the process of updating it, and I have names and numbers written in the back of mine for everybody that comes. And I thought about starting to mention names this morning. I said, no, but I don't have time. And if I did, I'd leave somebody out. So let me just say this. I have never known a group of people that have been more compassionate, that have loved others, that have cared for others, that have done so many acts of kindness for others. You see, as pastor, I get in on a lot of them. Many of the things that people do, they want to do so nobody knows they did it. And so they talk to me about facilitating some of those acts of kindness. And I just wish I could pull away all the layers of anonymity and just tell you different things that different people have done to care for other people in this congregation. And so let me tell you, I've been in several churches in my lifetime. I have never, ever known a congregation that have been so compassionate as you. I've never known a congregation that has been so consistent. You're faithful. Some of you have been here from the very beginning. Some of you have come throughout the years, and once you've come, you've been here. You've made this church your church home, and you've come week after week after week after week after week. You don't waver. You stay by the stuff. And I'm going to say, when I get to the end of my life, I've preached in a great congregation. And then to make all these words start with C, there's some crazy folks in this congregation. But I love you. And that's what makes being here such an enjoyable part of, a big enjoyable part of my life, is just the characters, the peculiar people like we were talking about in Sunday school, actually different than we were talking about in Sunday school, but the characters that God has put in this place. That's why we love to fellowship so much together. That's why we have such good times when we get together. That's why nobody wants to leave when the service is over. You just want to stay and enjoy each other's fellowship. And a lot of times I just lock the doors and say, last one out, turn off the lights. But I will say, when I get to the end of my ministry here, when I get to the end of my life and I look back on it, God, what a wonderful, wonderful privilege you gave me. You gave me this group of people to pastor. What a great congregation you've let me shepherd. What a wonderful group of people that you've let me be a part of their lives. Now, when we get down to verse 10, I hope when you look back on my preaching that you can say what David said about his. I hope, first of all, you can say that we had a preacher that preached. He was here. He didn't hardly miss any Sundays except those few times that he got sick. He planned his vacations to always be here on the weekends. And a lot of people say, I used to have a guy I work with. He said, you're just so selfish you won't share your pulpit. Well, he's exactly right. I don't like to share my pulpit. I don't like to give up an opportunity to preach. It just burned me up that I had to be gone Wednesday and let Brother Harry stand in my place. But I know he counted it as a privilege, and I counted it as a privilege, Brother Harry, for you to do that for me on Wednesday night. But I like to be here, and I like to preach. You don't, when you come to this place, you don't get book reports. When you come to this place, you don't get current events lessons. You get the Bible. And it's preached. And in the book of 1 Corinthians, the Bible says it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. And I know a lot of my sermons, people would say, well, that's just a bunch of foolishness. I know that, you know, I never went to college, and I don't count myself as a good preacher. I've always tried to make my sermons simple. I've always tried to get the points across. It doesn't matter how it sounds, and it doesn't matter if somebody was judging me on my English. I don't care. You can do that. What's important is that you hear the Word of God. And David mentions several things in verse 10, verses 9 and 10 there, that I hope when you look back on this ministry and my preaching, you can say, that's what our preacher preached. He mentioned, first of all, I preach the righteousness of God's. God's righteousness. It's the righteousness talked about in Romans chapter 10, verses 1 and 3, where Paul reminded us it's not our righteousness that gets us to heaven. It's not the right things that we do. In fact, the book of Isaiah says that all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in God's sight. All our goodness, all the good things that we can do are in God's sight are just like the filthy rags that lepers wrapped around their open sores. And when they got full of the bodily fluids that came out of their sores, they threw it on the ground, and it became dirty from the dust of the ground. And when God looks at all of our righteousnesses, all the good things that we could point to, he says, that's what they look like in my eyes. In Titus 3:5, the Bible says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Susan Wesley, that lady that had 10 children and loved each one of them in a special way. John and Charles Wesley wrote many, many hymns. They were wonderful preachers of the gospel. Even though they were Methodists, they still preached the gospel. They were wonderful preachers of the gospel. Her favorite verse, the verse that she drilled into her children's minds and hearts, was Romans chapter 4, verse 5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. We do not get the righteousness of God by what we do. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. We get the righteousness of God imparted to us by the mercies of God when we come to Jesus Christ. I hope you can say, when you look back on what you've heard in this place, that we had a preacher that preached not righteousness from man, but righteousness from God. That's what gets us into heaven. Then David says, I have declared thy faithfulness. What David says, God, I've told this great congregation that you gave them to me that you are a faithful God, that you are a God that does exactly what he says. We are able to hold in our hands a book where God makes us some wonderful promises. And if you have the Word of God, you have those promises. Now again, I'll just say, I'm talking about the King James Bible. I believe that if you don't have a King James Bible, you have commentaries. You have what other people think the Bible say. I believe that I hold in my hands the very Word of God. And I have, from this book, I want to proclaim to you and declare to you the faithfulness of God. God will always do exactly what he says. We talked about it in Sunday school this morning. He does not change. His word does not change. That's what I have against all these revisions and translations. They keep putting out words and putting in words. And God said, cursed is the man that do that. This is my word. Leave it alone. Don't mess with it. Bible says in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 23, great is thy faithfulness. We sing the song, great is thy faithfulness. O God, my Father, there is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. The same God that fellowshiped with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. The same God who was with Noah on the ark. The same God that called Moses and called Abraham and called Joshua and called the judges that we're studying about on Wednesday night. The same God who spoke to the prophets, both the major and the minor prophets that we read in the Old Testament. The same God who called the disciples. The same God who inspired Paul and Peter and the others that wrote books in the New Testament. The same God who appeared to John on the Isle of Patmos and let him see, pull back the curtains and let him see into heaven and let him see what was going to happen in the last times. The same God is the God that we serve. He has not changed. He has not changed from when he walked with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden to when he walked with the Apostle John and the Isle of Patmos. It'll be the same God that walks in heaven with us. He has not changed. He is a faithful God. I'm so glad we don't have a God that changes the rules of the game. I'm so glad we have a God that told us before the foundation of the world, wrote down this book, what the rules of the game were going to be, and he hasn't changed them. They're still the same. Today, I have preached thy faithfulness. He said, number three, I have preached thy salvation. Those of you that have been coming here know that in every single service, the gospel, somehow, some way, it may be the focal point of the message. Even if it's not the focal point of the message, it's in the message. I don't want a person to ever come to a service Sunday night or Sunday morning or even on Wednesday night and not know how to get saved if they're not saved. I wonder how many times in the past 26 years we've gone down the Romans road. How many times have we told people that there's none righteous, no, not one? How many times have we said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? How many times have we said the wages of sin is death, separation from God for all eternity? How many times have we told folks that God loves us? And when he loved us before we were, while we were still yet sinners, he sent his son Jesus to die in our place. How many times have we extended God's invitation and say, look, and if you'll come to Jesus Christ, if you'll trust him, if you'll receive him as your Savior, he will save you. If you come, he'll no wise cast you out. I preach from that gospel from this pulpit. I preached it when I sat down with people and we've talked about Jesus. I want to tell you something. That gospel works for grandpas and grandmas. It works for moms and dads. It works for teenagers. It works for little boys and little girls. Some of the sweetest times in my life when I have sat down with 7 and 8 year olds and told them that Jesus loved them, that he died for them to pay for their sins. I have preached the gospel. If you're here this morning and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want to tell you something. It'll work for you. It'll work for you. David says, I have preached thy loving kindness. One of the greatest things in the Word of God is the fact that he tells us that he loves us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I preached it hundreds of times, over and over and over again. But I want to tell you something this morning. Every time I think about it, every time I consider the fact that God loves me, it just sends chill bumps up my back and up my arms. I can't get over it. I mean, I just can't understand. Even though I've preached about it hundreds of times, I still cannot explain to you why a holy God would love a sinner like me. It doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't. I just can't understand it. But it doesn't matter if I can understand it or not. I just need to believe it. And so do you. You need to know that there's a holy God in heaven that loves you. Yes, he loves the whole world. And yes, he died for the whole world. But he loves you as an individual. He would have died for you if you were the only sinner. If you were the only one that had fallen short of God's glory. If you were the only one that had broken God's law. He would have died for you because he loves you as an individual. Little kid sang that song, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. I have preached thy loving kindness. And then number five, I have preached thy truth. In Psalm 119, verse 160, the Bible says, thy word is true. Thy word is true. I say again this morning, every verse in this book is true. Every promise in this book is true. It's true when it says in Luke 19, verse 10, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. We didn't have to go looking for God. God came looking for us. We didn't have to get up to where God was. God came down to where we were. You were lost. I was lost. He came looking for us, like that shepherd that went looking for the lost sheep, like the woman who searched the house for a lost coin, like the father who looked in the distance to see a lost son coming home. Our God came looking for us and sent his son to seek and to save. This book is true when it says in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know what? If you're a sinner here this morning and you've never received Christ as your Savior, you don't have to join this church to get saved. You don't have to get baptized to get saved. You don't have to take communion to get saved. You don't even have to turn over a new leaf to get saved. For our invitation this morning, we're going to sing the song, Just As I Am, without one plea. That's how he wants us to come, just like we are. And we have nothing to plea. There is nothing about us that can justify our salvation to holy, righteous God, but that thy blood was shed for me. That's why we can come, because the blood of his only begotten Son was shed on Calvary's tree for each one of us. It's true. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's true when it says in Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know God knows what we need. There's not a thing that we need that God doesn't know about. And he says, you seek my kingdom first. Talking to Christians, you seek my kingdom first, and I'll make sure I'll take care of all this other stuff. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to be concerned about it. I will take care of it. The Bible's true when it says that. It's true when it says in Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Our need can never outstrip God's supply. You ever stop and think about that? You say, preacher, you don't know what I need. I don't, but God does. And I guarantee you what you need can ever, never, ever be more than what God has to provide through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's true when it says in Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. There are things that happen in our life that we can't explain. Sometimes we step back and we wonder why a God that loves us so much, why a God who sent Jesus to die in our place, why a God that loves us like that would let certain things happen in our life. Well, he knows what we need. And whether we want him or not, he gives us what we need to make us into that kind of person that he wants us to be. This morning, based on the truth in this book, I close with this. Heaven is real. Hell is real. You're going to spend eternity in one of those two places. If you go to hell, you don't have to do anything. You don't. Because you're a sinner, and the wages of sin is death, and hell is that place that God has prepared for those that don't know him. Well, I actually didn't prepare it for us. He prepared it for the Satan. He's just borrowing it to put those that don't know him there for eternity, because he's not going to be there. So if you've never received Christ, I'll just say it as sweetly as I know how to say it, you're headed for an eternity in hell. But this morning, I want to tell you, God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. He's not any, that willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so he has dealt to every person a measure of faith, enough faith to believe what I'm talking about right now. He sends the Holy Spirit to woo us to that Savior, to make us understand that we are sinners and there's a penalty for that sin, and that God did pay that penalty in the form of Jesus Christ. And he tells us that if we'll just come and trust him and ask him, he'll save us. That's the truth in that book. That's the gospel in that book. And so if you're here this morning and you've never done that, I want you to come this morning. Let me take the Bible, or let me have somebody take the Bible and show you exactly what I've been talking about, that if you ask Jesus, he'll save you. He will. He will. Now, listen, I know most of us are Christians here this morning, and I'm so glad. I'll say it again. I'm so glad that God brought you to this church. I'm so glad that you make up this congregation. I'm so glad, and I count it a privilege to be your pastor. I do. I wish I could just get inside your head and put my thoughts into your brain, because I don't have words to express what I'm trying to say this morning. I just wish I could beam my thoughts into your head so you know my heart this morning. This is a great congregation, and I thank God for it. But he's not done with us yet. He's not done with us yet. As Christians, there's more that he wants us to do. There's more people that he wants to tell about Jesus. There's more people that need to be cared for like we care for one another. And so we need to stay faithful. We need to stay holy. We need to be the kind of people that God wants us to be. And so if you're here this morning and you're a Christian and the Holy Spirit's talking to you about something he wants you to do, something that is in your life that he wants you to get out of it, or something that needs to be in your life that's not, would you listen to him this morning? And would you do it? Would you do it? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this people that you've brought together as a church. Thank you for letting me be their pastor. Thank you for the compassion that they have for one another, for the concern. Thank you for their faithfulness. And Father, I pray that, I know you're not done with us yet. I know there's more that you want us to do. So I pray we'd never be satisfied with what you've done. But Father, that we'd have that desire to serve you more, to see you do greater things in this place. I pray for those that might be here this morning that don't know Christ as their Savior. Maybe it's somebody that's been here for a long time. Maybe it's somebody that's here for the very first time this morning. I pray, Holy Spirit, you'd help them see that they're a sinner and they need a Savior, and that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by him, and I pray you'd help them come this morning. And we could take the Bible and show them from the Bible how to ask Jesus to be their Savior. Bless this time of invitation. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.